before you, we ask that you open our eyes, that we can see what you want us to learn, and open our ear, that we can hear, and hide your word within our heart, so that we won't sin against you. And I pray that you be with us, and speak to each and every one of us. Help us to learn the lesson you want us to learn through the life of Joseph and his brothers. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today I want to finish 43 all the way to 45. Genesis chapter 43 all the way to 45, and see whether we learn any lesson from them. Joyce, could you read that? I want you to put a question mark in here and asking yourself, what is the reason why Joseph makes such a request that you will not be able to see me unless you will not be able to see my face again unless your brother Benjamin, the brother Benjamin, the last one, the youngest one, is with you? I want you to ask yourself this question in Genesis chapter 43, verse 5. You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. I want you to ask yourself the question and then see whether you can answer me the question, okay? Verse 6.
Israel asked, why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother? They replied, the man questions us closely about ourselves and our family. Is your father still living? He asked them. Do you have another brother? He simply answers his question. How are we to know? He would say, bring your brother down here. Then Judah said to Israel, his father, send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life.
I want you to write it down right beside Genesis chapter 43, verse 9. You write down 44:32. And right beside 44:32, you write down 43, verse 9. And Judah make a guarantee. I myself will guarantee for his safety. And how can Judah guarantee the safety of his younger brother Benjamin? He cannot, but he make that pledge. And you can hold me personally responsible for him. So we learn this lesson, don't ever make this kind of guarantee, because you do not hold the future. You do not know what will happen when you see Joseph. And he said that if I do not bring Benjamin back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. Verse 10.
As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice. Then their father Israel said to them, if it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bag and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouth of the sack. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man so that he may let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you.
Who is the other brother? Simeon? Okay.
As for me, I am bereaved. men took the gifts in double the amount of silver and Benjamin also. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph
so I want to stop here, verse 14, and listen to what Jacob said. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. And what does it really mean? Okay, I want you to think about that. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. You know what? When we come to God and if we do His will, we have to say the same thing too. As for me, if I am crucified, I am crucified. If you don't suffer, you cannot do the will of the Lord. And why I'm saying that? And at that time, Jacob don't even know, and Jacob don't even remember what the Lord has said. I want you to write beside Genesis chapter 43, verse 14. He forget the promise God made to Abram. Later on, his name changed from Abram to Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 to 14. Because Abram asked God the question, verse 8, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possessions of it, gain possessions of the land of Canaan? He wants to be sure, how can I know that I will gain possessions of it? And verse 13, then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. What's the name of this country? And of Egypt. And they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. Verse 14. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. In verse 16, in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sins of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. And then, in verse 18, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said to him, to your descendant, I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river. Great river is Euphrates River. That Euphrates River is going to be dried out in the 7 years of tribulation, so that the kings and his people from the east will cross that Euphrates River into Jerusalem and fight their last battle, the battle of Armageddon. Okay, so you can write it down, Genesis chapter 15, all the way from verse 8, all the way to verse 21. Jacob say, as for me, if I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. It is the Lord's idea, want him to go from where he is now and go to the land of Egypt. He didn't know that. It's difficult for him to let his son Benjamin go with his other brother so as to get the food and the grain. Verse 15.
To eat with me and me. The man did as Joseph told him, and took the men to Joseph's house. Now attack us and overpower us, and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys. So they went up to Joseph's.
So I want to stop here. Why would they think like that in verse 17 to 18? How come his brothers were so afraid when they were taken to Joseph's house? And what do they think? We were brought here because of the silver that was put back into our sack the first time. And he wanted to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkey. Why would they think like that? Joyce, do you know?
Guilty conscience.
What else? They are wicked, right? When they are wicked, they think wicked things. You know, I want to stop here. The first time when we hear the gospel, if the Lord do not use his word to cleanse our conscience and cleanse our mind, cleanse our heart, when you hear the gospel, you won't accept it either. People, Jesus Christ do you good. He do you no harm. You say, wow, you want me to believe in you? Are you going to take my money? Are you going to take my life? You know, as for Jacob, he say, if I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. There's only way to know God, if I'm bereaved and I'm bereaved. Do his will, you need faith. You need to ask God to cleanse your conscience, cleanse your mind, cleanse your heart. Otherwise, we will have a difficult time to believe in the word of God. Even though if God is treat us well, we say, why would he treat us so well? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It paints the picture of our own heart. We think what they think. So that's why, at first, when you hear the gospel, we all have difficulty in believing it. Same as when the Lord called you to be his servant, you say, wow, if you want me to be his servant, that means I have no freedom. You know? Right? You should learn from Jacob. As for me, if I'm bereaved, and I'm bereaved. The only way for us to know God is we have to make that commitment to carry the cross and deny ourselves and follow him. That's the only way. I want to stop here and ask the question. What's the reason why Joseph saying that you have to bring your brother Benjamin? Without bringing Benjamin, you will not be able to see me? Do you know that? No one can go to see the Father except through Jesus Christ. I want you to write it down right beside verse 5. You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. Genesis chapter 43 verse 5. You write down Gospel of John 14:6. Act 4:12. Hebrew 7:25. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through me. Did you write it down? So I want you to read it. Now, Jean, could you read that? 14:6, Gospel of John. Donald, would you read Act 4,
12, Hebrew, Gabriel, Hebrew 7:25. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Right?
Okay.
Acts 4:12.
Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to them by which we must be saved.
Okay. And then Hebrews 7:25. I want you to write it down. One more Bible verse in the Old Testament. Psalm 110:1. The Lord said to my Lord, "You sit at my right hand until I make your enemy a footstool." David, could you read that? Psalm 110:1. Okay. And do you know what Benjamin means? Anybody knows? George, do you know? What does it mean by Benjamin? Joshua, do you? Every time when you see the Ben, Ben means son. B-N. Okay? Benjamin is the son of my right hand. Jesus Christ is the son of God's right hand. And the only way we can see God the Father in the future is because of the Son of His right hand. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And when Rachel gave birth to a Benjamin, Rachel named him Ben Oni. Genesis chapter 35, verse 8. Rachel breathed her last breath, for she was dying. She named her son Ben Oni. But Jacob did not like the name. That kind of name. Ben Oni means son of my trouble. Because Rachel gave birth to Ben Oni, she died. So that's why she named her son Ben Oni. But Jacob, his father, named him Benjamin. Benjamin means son of my right hand. So, Joyce, could you tell me what's the reason why Genesis chapter 43, verse 5, what's the reason why Joseph say that you, all of you, will not be able to see my face again unless your brother Benjamin is with you?
what does Benjamin mean?
Did everybody know now? David, do you know the answer now? No one can see God the Father unless Jesus is with us. Right? Where is Jesus now? In our heart? And where else? At the right hand of God. Okay? So I want you to write down these Bible verses. All these four Bible verses right beside Genesis chapter 43, verse 5. And also, unless your brother, that brother, I want you to write it down. 35 verse 18, right? Right beside, unless your brother, 35:18. That's Benjamin. So what's the other question that I asked you? Donald, remember? What's the other question that I asked? Don't make any guarantee to any person, for you do not hold the future. Okay? Otherwise, the Lord going to hold you accountable to what you say. Say, I myself will guarantee his safety. Don't ever say that, you know? Because you don't even know what will happen. I want you to write it down in Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. Right beside, I myself will guarantee. Matthew 12, 35. Let me see, 35. No, I mean 36 to 37, okay? But I tell you that man will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. I say that again. But I tell you that man will have to give account on the day of judgment. Every careless word they have spoken. 37. For your word, you will be acquitted. And by your word, you will be condemned. So we have to be very, very careful of what we have said. For by your word, you will be acquitted. And by your word, you will be condemned. So right beside 43 verse 14, Jacob said, as for me
if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. You write down Matthew chapter 16. 16:24. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. You write down 16:24 and 25. As for me, I'm bereaved. If I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. By doing so, you will be able to know the will of the Lord. You will be able to follow Jesus Christ so that he be with us, just like Benjamin. In those days, if they go with Benjamin, they will be able to see the face of Joseph. In the future day, if we go with our Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, we will be able to see the face of our Heavenly Father. So where we left off now?
19.
And so what did I say? 17 to 18. In order for us to truly believe in the word of the Lord, we need to repent and turn around, forsake our wicked way. So could you turn to Isaiah 55? And the reason why the first time when we hear the gospel, we have a hard time in believing in it. And after we are born again, some people still have a hard time in following our Lord. Why? Because we always hold on to our own idea. Isaiah 55 verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Joseph tried to bless his brother and inviting them to his own house for lunch, and yet they were so frightened. They thought, we were brought here because of the silver that was put back into our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkey. They have evil thought and evil mind within their heart, within their head. So that's why God say, let the wicked forsake his way, and let the evil man forsake his thought. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So I want you to write it down. Isaiah 55, 6 to 9. Right beside 17 to 18, Isaiah 55, 6 to 9. Every time when you hear the word of God, every time when you hear the word of the Lord, when you have a hard time in believing in it, you go back to Isaiah and seek God. Okay? And forsake our own wicked way and evil thought and turn to him. And he will have mercy on us. On top of that, when we approach Him with confidence, God will freely pardon us.
You know, it's beyond their thinking that Joseph, you know, this governor, this fellow will treat him well, you know, because the last time Joseph in front of their eyes, what did he do? In front of their eyes, bound Simeon. Remember that? In verse 24, Joseph had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes.
He thought that Joseph is bad. Okay? Joseph is very, very good. He is so filled with the Holy Spirit, he acts like God. Okay?
Now, 19.
So what have they heard? Favorable reply, right? But they still don't believe. On top of that, the steward brought Simeon out to them. Released Simeon, right? And they still do not understand. Verse 24. So I want to stop here. The steward took the men into Joseph's house and gave them water to wash their feet and provided fodders for their donkey. Is that the way that they tried to overpower them and force them to be slaves? It's not, right? And then verse 25. They prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon because they have heard that they were to eat there. Verse 26. Verse 26, they bow down before Joseph to the ground. Verse 28, they bow low to pay him honor. How many times they bow down? Verse 43, Genesis chapter 43, twice already, right? You remember the first time they bow down? 42, verse 6. They bow down to Joseph with their faces to the ground. And then, verse 9, 42, 9, Joseph remembered his dream about them and said to them, "You are spy." You know what? When Joseph spoke his two dreams to his brother, these two dreams was revealed to him by God the heaven. Okay? By our Heavenly Father. God revealed that dream to Joseph. So when Joseph spoke about his two dreams, that means Joseph spoke the word of God. They don't like it. They don't believe in it. But now, is this for their own good or for their own harm? It's for their own good, to save them. Be gracious and merciful to them. They can come here all the way from Canaan to Egypt to buy grain without silver, right? And they get a free lunch too, isn't it? And they get favorable reply from the steward. Verse 29. In here, you think their eyes are open now, or they're still blind? There are three tables, one for Joseph, one for Egyptians, one for his brother. 11 of his brother within that table, where they will sit in the order from the firstborn to the youngest, right? That means Joseph knows them really well. Isn't it? And they still don't realize it. You know, sometimes, you know, when we were blind, when we were wicked and evil, we just cannot see. Right? Isn't it? That's the way we are, you know. Chapter 44. You see what did they say? Don't know what did I say? In Matthew chapter 12, we be very, very careful every word that we have spoken, right? They're very careless, right? They say things they shouldn't have said. You know? If any of your servants is found to have it, he will die. Why would you say things like that? And the rest of us will become my Lord's slave. Right? He said that as if he knew everything, right? But he didn't. Sometimes, as a non-believer, that's exactly what they say. They say things they don't even know. They don't even understand. And later on, they regret. You know, I remember, you know, when someone shared the gospel to me, I say, if I don't go to the hell, who would? You know? Right? So, we are stupid, you know, we say things like that.
I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die. I don't want to be someone's slave. Right? But we say things we don't mean that. Verse 10. Well, that still is very gracious, right? Okay, 11. They threw themselves to the ground before him again, right? This is the fourth time now. Okay? Yep. Verse 15. Now in here, you know, he just say that, you know. He just say in such a way that they can understand. But you know that. We as Christians, we don't find things out by divination. God abhors divination. You understand? The Gentile, they try to find out things, you know, by divination. Verse 16. So what did Judah say? You know, compared with what the steward say? Verse 10, very well, he said. The steward said, very well, let it be as you say. Whoever is found to have it will become my slave. The rest of you will be free from blame. You're free to go. But Judah, because he make a guarantee, personal guarantee to his father. And now he's in deep trouble now. So that's why he say, we are now my Lord's slave. We, he didn't say Benjamin become Joseph's slave. He say we ourselves and the one who was found to have the cup. We, that means all 10 of us together with Benjamin, 11 of us. Because he has no face to see his father. He make guarantee he cannot fulfill the guarantee. Brother and sister, remember one thing. Don't swear, don't guarantee. Because you don't hold the future. You don't know what happened tomorrow. Okay?
From me too, and harm comes to him, you'll bring my great head down to the grave in misery. go now. If the door is not with us, when I go back to my servant, when I go back to your servant, my father, and if my father's flesh is closely bound to the boy's leg, seems that the boy isn't there, he would die. Your servant will bring the great head of our father down to the grave in sorrow. Your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father. I said, if I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all my life.
I want you to write down 43:9 right here, because that's what he has said. And now he knows he's in deep trouble. He knows that he cannot go. Even though he was set free by Joseph, he cannot go back to see his father, because he will bear the blame before his father, Jacob, all his life. He preferred to be a slave to Joseph. Okay? Verse 33. Do you see the life change in Judah compared with in the very beginning that he, whose idea is that to sell Joseph as slave to Ishmael, go back to Genesis chapter 37. Whose idea is that? Verse 26. Judah said to his brother, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him to Ishmaelite, and not lay our hand on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood, his brother. His brother agreed. So what has been changed? From 37 verse 26 to 27 to 45, Genesis chapter 44 verse 33 all the way to 34. What has been changed in the life of Judah? In 33:44, Genesis 44:33, now then please let your servant remain here. Let me, he called himself servant. Let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave in place of my brother, the boy, the Benjamin. And let the boy, Benjamin, return with his brother. At first, he sold his brother, Joseph, as slave to Ishmaelite. He doesn't care how his father feels. Now he cares so much how his father feels. He's willing to take the blame. He's willing to take his place. And that motive, that moved Joseph to cry even more. You understand? He sees the changes in the life of Judah. And Judah's life was changed, as we can see in here. And later on, God used the tribe of Judah. That's why Jesus Christ come from the tribe of Judah. It's a life-changing experience. If our life was not changed, we cannot see Jesus. What pleases the Lord? When God see our life has been changed through suffering and affliction. Judah's life was changed. He cared so much about the well-being of his father. He cared so much of his brother, Benjamin. You see that? So brother and sister, I would like to tell you something. When we read the scripture, read the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of life. Every time when we read it, we hide it within our heart and allow God's words to change our life. When God in heaven see that our life has been changed,
He will bless us. You see that? What's the reason why our life wasn't changed? Because we have evil thought, evil mind within our heart and within our head. We were so blind. We don't know that God is so good. Jesus Christ is good. Same as Jacob. Jacob wanted to send his son on a second trip to buy grain, to buy food. And yet he refused to listen to his children saying that they have to bring Benjamin along. Otherwise, we cannot go back to see Joseph. And Jacob refused to abide by Joseph's command. All the time, we refuse to abide by the command of God until we realize, if I don't send my sons, the 11 sons, to go and buy food, we will all die. You know, when do we believe in Jesus Christ? Until we face difficulty, affliction, and suffering, we know we're going to die, we're going to turn around. Just like what Jacob said, as for me, if I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you don't let Benjamin go, you love Benjamin so much, Benjamin so precious in your sight, if you don't let him go, the entire household, everyone, man, woman, animal, all perish. If we do not receive Jesus Christ within our heart, none of us can see God. We will perish. You learn anything, Gabriel? Tell me, what have you learned? Donald, could you tell me? Unless you play by God's rule, you're going to lose. At what time Jacob changed? Under what situation he let his precious son, Benjamin, let him go with his other brother to buy food, until he realized what? He and his entire household will die of starvation, right? They don't know that. This is only the second year of famine. There's 5 more years. How can you survive? All your household, including all the animal, that possession, will perish. So if we are wise, we hear the word of the Lord, we turn around. Can you tell me how come the life of Joseph was changed? How do you know the life of Joseph has been changed by God? Could you turn to Genesis chapter 41, verse 50? Before the year of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph by his wife. Verse 51, Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh, and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." And the second son, he named Ephraim, and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land
of my suffering. So it is good for us to suffer. When Joseph suffered, God made Joseph fruitful. At first, Joseph made a report of the bad behavior of his brother to his father. Okay? And now, Joseph take care of his brothers, even though his brother hated him, could not speak a kind word to him. And yet, Joseph showed favoritism, showed favor to his brother. At first, Joseph brought their father a bad report about all his brothers. Okay, 37 verse 2. Joseph brought their fathers a bad report about them. But now, Joseph treat them really, really well. Give them food without silver. Joseph's life was changed in his suffering. Jacob's life was changed in his suffering, and now Judah's life was changed in his suffering. And that's why 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3, it has been ordained for each and every one of us has to suffer. It's for our own good. Without suffering, without affliction, our life will not be changed. And Joseph's life was changed, Jacob's life was changed, Judah's life was changed, Paul's life was changed, and my life was changed, and your life was changed too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3, so that no one would be unsettled by this trial. You know quite well that we were destined for them. We were destined for suffering, for affliction. Do you see that? Joshua, do you understand? Tell me, what have you learned? No, just what I just said. You know, without suffering, without that famine, Jacob refused to let his son go. Eventually, he not only let his son go, he himself go down to Egypt. Why would he have to go down to Egypt? Because he has been destined by God in Genesis chapter 15, 13 to 14, right? They have to stay there for 400 years, four generations. Everything has been ordained by God. We don't know that. All we see is in front of us, uncertainty. But God sees farther than that. Right? So have faith and believe in Him. He will look after us wherever we are.
So I say I want to finish 43, 44. 44, 45, right?
I think I can only stop up to 44, right? Let me see. Did we finish 44? Finish reading it? Jean, could you tell me what have you learned today? Destined to suffer. Is it good or bad? How good it is? And more fruitful, right? That's good.
So could you do me a favor? Right beside Genesis 41, 52. God has made Joseph fruitful in the land of my suffering. I want you to write down Genesis. I want you to write down Gospel of John. John 15,
verse 1 and 2. Could you read that, Jean? John 15, 1 and 2. When the gardener prunes you, you feel painful, but you will bear much fruit.
Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us every time when we read your scripture, we learn things from it, and help us to be very, very careful on what we say, for you're going to hold us accountable to what we have said. And I pray that through our suffering, according to your promise, you're going to make us more fruitful, enable us to endure the hardship, and persevere and not to give up. For we will see the result, a good result. For you treat us really well. I pray that you help us to remember in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the life of Joseph, in the life of Paul, and they all have to suffer for God so as to make others come to know you. And I pray that you help us to do the same. When we come to see you face to face, we don't want to come to see you with empty handed. Enable us to come to see you with a lot of fruit. Welcome us with rich blessing and place a crown of pure gold upon each and every one of our heads. And I pray that you be with us. For without walking with you, no one can see the face of our Heavenly Father. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.